Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son Jesus Christ once again. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, the Holy Spirit of God, who is always in us, with us, as we are waiting upon you. Speak to us. Give us the attentive ears to hear your word. Let your word come to us as you want us to be. In the same way, help us to receive your word as you want us. Let your word has its purpose in every one of our life that will glorify your name. Hide me behind your cross. Spirit of God, take control over the rest of the time. In Jesus' precious name, we offer this prayer. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. Once again, it's my privilege to stand before you to speak God's word. And whatever God has put in my heart, I brought it to you to edify and to encourage. As we know that this year is the year of relationship, and in relation to that theme, we are continually hearing and we are praying too. I believe that we are all blessed. We are all blessed by those messages. Today, the topic is the relationship of the church to Christ. The relationship of the church to Christ. There are many things, and today I bring it to you only one subject, that is about the shepherd and the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. It is a very familiar, and we know it from our Sunday school, maybe from 3 years. We keep on hearing this word and meditating this word, and I heard many sermons on this. But now, today, what really God wants us to speak through us and in relation to the relation with the church and himself. So the wonderful relationship that exists between Christ and the church was initiated by Christ, who loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. The intimacies of the relationships are described in 7 figures, but I take one today. The rest of the thing we will try to finish it in the rest of the year. So here, the shepherd and the sheep emphasizes both the warm leadership and the protection of Christ, and the helplessness and the dependency of believers. That we read it from John 10th chapter, verses 1 to 18. Even though it takes time for us to go through, but let us pay attention to God's word. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 18, we read it from ESV, that is English Standard Version. Let us pay attention. Keep you open your Bible to John 10th chapter, verses 1 to 18. Sister.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good sheep lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father."
Thank you. I hope all of us understood what Jesus Christ was telling. When you look at it, and whatever, wherever Jesus said, "Truly, truly," he emphasizes the message to the disciples or even to the people of the world. Truly, truly. When you look at it, the first six verse, what he was said, the sixth verse says, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. See this. He started with, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheep gate by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." And he goes on telling about himself. Even when we start, he started with the emphasis of the content. His own disciples, those who followed him, they could not understand. That's what he himself has said. It is written. Again he has to start with verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door." It goes on like that. And what do we understand here? A shepherd who is passionately cares for the sheep. He knows them intimately, and he understands them very personally, of course. We must realize here, as I started with comparing the church and Christ, here by this time you must be knowing who is the sheep mentioned here. Who is the sheep here? It is we, the people of God. Amen? He is speaking about his own people, including his disciples. That's why he said, We should realize that sheep referred in this verse actually the people who have come through the gate into the kingdom of God, to the sheep pen. Hope all of us come to the gate into the kingdom of God. Who is the gate? Jesus Christ is the gate. Amen. If we think about the provisions or the previous statement of Jesus Christ, I am the gate, we can see how closely these ideas are linked. The Middle East, Eastern region, the sheep pen was continuous wall with the gate. And once the sheep were safely inside, the shepherd himself would be lying in the front of the gate. So he himself became the gate. So that's what he said, I am the gate. Sister, can you present the picture? He said, I am the gate. When he put all the sheep in the pen, next. No, before that, after that. I will come. Next. He is sitting at the gate. Next. One more. Later. Next. No, one more. He is at the gate. Sorry, it is not related there. Yes. See, when he put all the sheep inside the pen, he sit and sleep, blocking the gate. That's why he said, I am the gate. And there are people come through the other gate or other way. The next one. Who are they? Thieves. Another one. Yes. The thief and the robber. That's what he said. Why I bring this to this picture? Because it has I love this passage. I love this context. I love this relationship. I had a lot of experience in this, in relation to this subject. And I will let you know later. Here, first of all, a good shepherd is prepared and he is equipped. Go back. The good shepherd, if he is a good shepherd, anyone who is a good shepherd is sure prepare himself to be a good shepherd. Back. And he should be equipped by himself. So in describing himself in this way, Jesus draws upon the shepherd imaginary, which is found in throughout the Bible. A beautiful example of this is particularly evident in Psalm 23, verses 1 to 6. Keep open your Bible. All of us, we know by heart. But let us pay attention here what in particular he was mentioning about it. Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. It is very, very the expression or understanding of that statement is, it shows that the intimacy between the King David and as well as the Lord. So when we pronounce that, we should have that kind of feeling. The Lord is my shepherd. And we read that if he is our shepherd, we should be a very qualified and sheep supposed to be to him. To a good shepherd, we should be a good sheep as well. Amen? So first of all, he would carry as an equipment. What are they? The scrip. The figure. Before one. See the bag. That is called the scrip. What he has in this? His food and the stones for his the protecting the wild animals and so on. So he will not return on the same day. So that's what he takes. That is one of the equipment. Secondly, he also carried a sling with stones. That is the Old Testament time. And the latest one is the next one. It is called the sling with the stones. The same sling what David used to defeat Goliath. So if you do not know, you may be thinking it is looks funny, whether we are not aware of it. You are aware of it, no doubt about it. Let me present to you now how practically, physically, and the shepherd always with this. As a good shepherd, he has to have, first of all, prepared, and he will have his own equipment. Third item he would carry was a staff. Both are there. And he would perfectly accurate with the sling. It was not used just to defend himself against the wolves. And he could aim a stone in front of the wayward, even to the sheep which go far from him. And here, the staff. This was a short lump of wood with some nails hammered into the base. And this was used as a club against robbers. The fourth one is there only. It is he would carry a rod. And this was similar to the shepherd's crook and was used to retrieve the lost sheep. See the bend. If the sheep goes far and reluctant or rebellious, putting on the neck and pull them. And the same thing can be used to feed them too. If the sheep is not reaching the food, the leaves, he used that to pull the branches which is highest and feed them too. For two purposes it is used. And protect the sheep also. So he said, after all these things, I am the good shepherd. And in this one, I understood it, experienced it in my personal life. Because we had goats in our home. When we are studying, after the schooling, we have to go behind those goats and feed the holidays and all, we will be behind them. As we have seen and read in the passages, we name them. We call them by name. And when it is far from us, just we mimicry that according to them. And wherever, if it is far from our sight, if I make a sound from here, if it is outside, it will be looking where my voice comes. At the same time, I will also looking to reach that where the closest, which side it is making sound, or so this side or this side. And that's why it is very evident, we experience that we know the sheep, the voice of the sheep. The sheep also know the voice of the shepherd. This should be the relationship. Another example I can give about this, and my experience here. When I came here in the beginning of the year, and there was a program in the radio. Those days, no television, radio with a player. And a 15-minute program every day about Good Shepherd. I was very eagerly and attentively attended and listened to that program for more than 3 months. 15 minutes every day. It's a dramatic way it was broadcast from India, FIBA Radio. I understood it very clearly, even though I read this, memorized this from the school. But when I listened to that dramatic way of the Good Shepherd, I understood it a better way. There is no other way. At the last days, I was so emotional, and I was in tears. And why? How difficult it is to care for the sheep. What are the difficulties and the hardships the shepherd is facing when they go out? There are enemies. It is not only protect the sheep, and also you should protect him. But the good shepherd never cares for himself. The scripture says that I lay down my life. So even 4 times in this passage is mentioned, the good shepherd lay ready to lay his life for the sheep. In such a way, I understood it. In a summer, in a winter, in a rainy season, with the animals, with the people, so difficult, difficult to care for the sheep. So I was totally broken. So I wrote to them, appreciating immediately. I never used to write anybody. I was so poor in writing. And I wrote to them, appreciating that I am so-and-so, and I understood this portion of about a good shepherd and the sheep through this program. I understood in this way like that. I appreciated them. And I was a bachelor. I was staying with somebody, one Sri Lankan brother. And one of his friends came to visit him one day after some time. And he was working for Air Force, Oman Air Force. And when he came to worship, and this brother Ravi was introduced him about me. He is so-and-so, he is Abraham, he is an Indian, he is came from Vellore. All the places, and he was telling. Immediately the brother asked me, are you the Abraham who wrote to that Madras Media about the Good Shepherd? I said, yes. Oh, you are the person. And you are totally different, he said. I wrote to them, I also listened to this program. I wrote to them, left and right, and fire them, saying that, what program you are broadcasting? It is simply, it is a nonsense. You are fooling people. There is no salvation. No this and that. There is no Holy Spirit, no salvation. All this, repentance, all these things, the basic things are not here. But you are fooling people. So he wrote them. Actually, that media center, they sent me his letter to go through, because he is also there in Oman. If you happen to see him, just you can convey the message. My letter was posted to him also, which I am not aware of it. When he came to ask me, how come you wrote like this? I said, brother, thank you so much. So it is God's doing. And I do not know you. You do not know me. God made it together in this house. Not everybody is a matured believer. So I may be a new believer. And when he said, I told him, brother, you are looking at this program as a master's level. I am looking at this program as a UKG, LKG level. Without UKG, LKG, you will not go for mastering. So the way you look at it is different than the way I look at it. Non-Christian, for non-Christians, it is easy to understand the word through this type of programs. For you, you are looking about Holy Spirit, filling up the Holy Spirit, baptism, and all these things you are looking for. Before that, you should know the love of God. In this, the love is presented in such a way any layperson, any non-Christian can understand it. So like that, this is one of the experiences what I heard here. Above my personal experience. So in this case, I do not know or even imagine I'll become a pastor of the church. So all these things happened in the past. So that's why I'm very much encouraged and enjoy the portion of this message. Let us go move fast. Secondly, the good shepherd owns the sheep. So he will not borrow that is of his own. He does not hire them from somebody else. And this is his business, his investment, his life. He would be prepared to die for the sheep because they are belongs to him. Verse 12 states, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So, when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. This is not our good shepherd. He cost him dearly to own the sheep. His very identity is bound up with the sheep. He is the shepherd because our Lord Jesus Christ is a shepherd. And how he describes it, sister, the other program plan is. See here, two pictures are there. See the one person on your right, he runs away. See the good shepherd face the wild animal to protect his own sheep. That is the difference between the one who hires the sheep or hired for taking care of the sheep, the one who owns the sheep. Our Lord Jesus Christ owns each and every one of us. Amen. And we are the sheep belongs to him. Amen. Amen? Thirdly, the good shepherd knows his sheep by name. Verse 14 tells us, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. This is always we emphasize the character of a leader as well. So honestly telling from here, as a leader, I'm not qualified. Why? I do not know everyone's name. Maybe all of you know my name. And we have a problem. By face we can recognize, but by name it is not easy for me. I honestly confess before you. So it is not right qualification of a shepherd. The shepherd should know the sheep should know the shepherd. Amen? I did not hear amen to that.
Amen.
If I don't hear amen means, you are not knowing me fully. Also, maybe you know my name, but you do not know my nature, my character, my behavior, where I came from, what I am. All these things you may not be knowing. If you wanted to know, join the discipleship training course. Right, we move on. A good shepherd knows the sheep by name. This is just emphasizing what has already been said in verse 3. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Even in Isaiah 49:16, illustrates this beautifully, where the Lord says, "See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand." What a great promise it is. People are engraving so many things like tortoise. But Jesus, the Lord said, "I engraved you in my palm." So how privileged people we are. So it goes on. So this is extraordinary. God seems to have our names in his hands. He is the good shepherd who knows every member of his flock by name. He is intimate with his sheep. He knows his sheep in the same way that God the Father knows our Lord Jesus. And that's what I always used to say. Jesus knows the Father. As he knows the Father knows him in the same way. He always emphasized, "As I know the Father and the Father knows me, I know you. I know you by name." Hello? If Jesus said from here, "I know you by name," it is not exciting you. Every name has a purpose. That's why all the time we encourage to know the names of Christ. To call him on his name, he will be very much excited. Some people find it difficult to worship in God because we do not know or have enough knowledge to worship God. How much you know, what you know, that's why I keep on telling from here how much you should know him. When you come to worship God, you should know, prepared and come, what are the things you know about him. It is not knowledge, also by your experience. Whatever you are experiencing in a day-to-day life, everything has to be used to worship our God. Amen? And I'll move fast. Fourthly, there are certain things has to be okay. Fourthly, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, as I said. See here, verse 14, 11, 15, 17, and 18. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Check your Bibles. Why this much emphasis is given? Why is given this much emphasis? He wants us to know and believe he is a good shepherd. Is he a good shepherd for you?
Yes.
Right. So this is what? So no one takes it from him, me. That's what he said. So the great enemy is the death, physically and spiritually. The reason we die is because of sin. The good shepherd lays his life down to deal with the enemy, and he has all the right equipment. He is the eternal son of the living God. He has paid the price for our sins. and he has risen again because the price has been paid once and for all on all of our behalf. The Lord is my shepherd who seeks the lost and saves them. Luke 15 describes another shepherd who counted his sheep and on the finding that one was missing, went out to find the lost one of the 100 sheep. He knew the exact one which was missing. See, he carries the same. So once we were lost, it is our Lord the one who found us and who carries us. Amen? Amen. Jesus gives a wonderful picture of this shepherd going out to find out the lost sheep. Putting the lost sheep on his shoulders, he takes the weight on the wayward sheep. And on the cross, Jesus took the weight of our sin on the shoulders so that we could come back to the fold. In the world, there was a song saying about the good shepherd that we'll sing about later. And Jesus goes out and finds the lost sheep is the both one. Fifthly and lastly, the good shepherd leads the sheep. Verse 4 goes on to say, when he was brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Another picture is true. See, he is going in the front. So the one who is stand on the gate knows them by name, and the one who goes before, the one who leads the sheep has to follow the shepherd. Hope you understand this. You are not the nursery students, but still, I'll bring it before you. I'm so interested and I am so enjoy to bring these slides to you to show who he is, the good shepherd. And so here, the sheep were not just left to roam the field. The good shepherd led them. Some country, they have sheep dogs to find the lost sheep. But however, in the Middle East, the shepherd walked in front of the sheep, leading them, and they followed because they knew his voice. Our good shepherd Jesus leads us, even though the valley of death and on the place of feasting, God's place, the good shepherd is not like the hired one, and he is not like a thieves and robbers. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in full. Amen. Beware of false shepherds who are pretending. They are liars and imposters. Be careful of them. Robbers come to destroy. They have a brutal disregard and a personal property and the human life. They have ruthless indifferences to human life and disdain. And they want us to follow them. But they will, however, steal us, ultimately destroy us. Beware. So in this case, in this place, what it was said was, all others are thieves and robbers. You know, very common in India, and even in this, those who steal the sheep are called, what the Bible says? The robbers, the thieves and the robbers. Suppose, if some shepherd steals sheep, What do you say? It is also possible. Every time, most of the churches, they preach about it. In India, it is common. You know, in the beginning of this year, in my experience in this country, everywhere we used to hear that. Stealing shepherds, stealing sheep from other pen. We don't do it. How many of you believe that? We don't do it. How many of you believe that? What is the evident? What is the evident? What is the proof? No one knows. Week after week you are listening to the announcement. What you are listening? Whenever we invite a newcomers, what do we say? If you are not belongs to any church, you come. This we follow since the church is started. So the leadership, by the grace of God, the leadership is very mindful of using the word. We are not interested in stealing people or holding people, and they are free to worship. If you are not belongs to any other church, please do come. That's our request. So that is the proof. So far, if you do not know, today you know it. The shepherds or the leaders are not stealing sheep from other pen. Amen? Okay, let's go quickly. Verse 13. And we'll come for the conclusion. And his only motive is to get the job without the dying. Who is, the question as a conclusion, who is your shepherd? Who do you follow? Who do you listen to? Who feeds you? Who protects you? Who gives you life? What's your answer? Jesus! He is the good shepherd. As the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. How many of you can say that? Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Here, all the ones follow one wanting. So here, take another look at the good shepherd. Listen to his loving voice calling your name. Come to the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ. See how he loves you and follow him. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. So, this is how we will know him. Before we go to the Lord's table, I want the choir to sing a song quickly. The Shepherd of My Soul. Please stand to your feet. Let us sing together as an acknowledgement, as a confession of our faith.
Praise. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may be, I will follow. I have made a choice to listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will. Quiet pasture or higher gentle stream, the shepherd of my soul is by my side. Should I face a mighty mountain or a valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul will be my God. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control.
Father God, once again we come to you in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of coming together to commune with you as we are going to commune with one another. Lord, I pray, bless the bread and wine which kept before us. Lord, as we are going to participate in that, let us not take it lightly or as a ritual, but let us remember that it is by you, it is you who commanded us to do it. Lord, by which we acknowledge that you died for our sins. You carried all our sins upon you. It is you who died on the cross and who risen. We are believing that you are going to come. As we do this, Lord, let us receive the portion of blessing you stored for us. Now, bless the wine, bless the bread kept over us. Let the blessing, Lord, let it impact blessing in our life. At the same time, before that, speak to every one of us. If we have any unforgiven sin in us, Lord, forgive us. Cleanse us with the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to confess before you and take part in this communion, O Father. In all things, help us to have a grateful, thankful heart and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Quickly, as all of you know that, and there are many things to remember whenever we come together. It has to be, we know that, it's the bread and wine symbolizes the blood of Jesus and his body which is broken for us, and the meaning and is we should have a thankful heart, and it should be remembered or whenever we are coming, and even after that also we should remember all the days of our life Jesus is the one who died for us. And we are doing it, and it reminds us to proclaim the Lord's death. And it gives us the hope to remember our Lord is going to come. And it has to be taken with reverence, not lightly. Before that, as I pray, we have to examine ourselves before you come forward. And it is a sign of we are one. We are one among us. We are one with our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us do this as often as possible. The ushers will guide you. Please follow the instruction and come quickly to the front. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Just in an attitude of prayer, just declare how great God is. Today is one of the first memorials God has set before us, and we have observed it. because he's a great deliverer. Just decree, as you have taken the blood of Jesus, the way the angel of death passed over the children of Israel, the same way in your life going forward, you shall not mourn. Nothing bad shall come to happen to you. It will pass you by because you're marked with the blood of Jesus. That power, that protection that we have in the blood of Jesus Christ shall be our portion from today going forward in the mighty name of Jesus. As we have taken the bread, just declare that your body is whole. No sickness shall come near you. The way your body is intended to function, it shall function in the mighty name of Jesus. As we remember, Jesus shed his blood and he died for our sins. Let's remember this memorial salvation and say, Lord, thank you for the gift of my salvation. As you are still there, you have taken for your gift of your salvation. Pray that you will do whatever it is to preserve your salvation. That you live a holy life and righteous life till he comes again. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the service. We thank you, Lord, because you're the great shepherd. You're the example that in which you have asked us to follow. In everything that we have done today, Father Lord, it has been led by your own example, by you leading ahead of us. Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for your word in season, Father Lord. We thank you for Pastor Abraham, that you are blessed with him to give us this message, Father Lord. We ask that you continue to bless him beyond measure, Father Lord. Continue to give him more and more understanding, Father. Give him more rhema. Give him wisdom even as he administers this church, Father Lord. Lord, pray for every congregation, Father Lord, every congregation member that has committed, made here today, Father Lord. As they depart, Father Lord, I pray that your presence will go with them. And as your presence goes, Father Lord, it will open doors for us in the mighty name of Jesus. And so shall it be, Father Lord. Till when we meet next time, full of testimonies to what you have done for us. Take the glory, Father Lord. Take the adoration. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Before we share the grace quickly, our visitor just wait for us under the canopy. Our welcoming team will be there. Let's not forget, we're in the month of Ramadan. So if you're going to take any water, please do it under the canopy before you go to your cars, okay? If you need to drink any water, just take it here and then before you go to your cars, at least let us be considerate of our cousins. Let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.